Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free.
Dr. Jerry is on the attack, liberty's friend and tyranny's foe. The heathen are raging and the battle for America is on. The devil beware, Dr. Scheidbach is on the air, deftly swinging the sword of the spirit, aimed at the heart of the dragon of lies, the prince.
Hello,
of
I'm Dr. Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Our friends in Grover Beach will be joining the Freedom Rally this coming Saturday from 11 to 12. Same place, corner of Oak Park and Grand Avenue in Grover Beach. Now, that's a bit early for me on a Saturday, but I'm going to try to be there as soon as I can. I encourage all who care about liberty to join them. Obamagate. The question? Is a former president prosecutable for crimes committed while in office? Update on COVID California. Barr's office sent a warning letter to California. San Luis responds with reasonable caution. Some positive signals from Santa Barbara County, too. Lancaster mayor hunkering down in near terror over COVID. 8 pastors covenant together in California to fast and pray for our state to be delivered from the power of unreasonable and wicked men and women. California doctors say they've seen more deaths by suicide than they have by COVID. And Assembly Republicans introduce a concurrent resolution to end Newsom's reign of terror. Lots of news from California this morning. Burke complains she can't believe anything coming from the CDC these days. Proof that hydroxychloroquine does not work. Yeah, liberals are ecstatic. I'm not going to get to that, so I'll have to put it out right now. They found one case where somebody was using hydroxychloroquine addressing a condition of lupus who was tested positive for COVID anyway. One case against the, well, hundreds of people that have benefited. But anyway, hatred for Christianity is alive and well at Harvard. The flim-flam against Flynn falls apart when D.C. Circuit Court orders the Obama faithful judge Emmett Sullivan to answer questions about his refusal to obey the law and drop the Flynn case. He has until June 1st. Here's a Quinnipiac University poll that has Biden beating Trump by 11 points. Wow. Quinnipiac had a great reputation back in 2010 as among the most accurate polls, but you know, that is when the Republicans won big and they got hammered pretty bad about their polling. They were accused for letting, anyway. So in 2016, they were disciplined and they got back into the fold and they went along with progressive herd mentality and scored Hillary for a big win. And they lost their reputation. But anyway, another example of misapplying scripture on the issue of prophecy and pestilence. We'll take a quick look if we have time. And I doubt that we will. Yeah, and a whole lot more. I mean, I'm not likely to get through all of this today. And I'll tell you what. Lately, I've begun an evening visit with friends and family of the Lighthouse called Counsel and Comfort for the Present Distress. And it's become a useful time. It's casual. It's a live-streamed event from my office. And I cannot set a specific time for when I'm going to go live. And I can't do them Wednesdays and Sundays. But every other evening, I provide a live stream visit from my office to any interested. You can go to our church Facebook page. That's Lighthouse Baptist Church Facebook page. Like the page, and then make sure your settings are set up to receive notifications when we go live. My friends, it is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic. A gourmet meal for the mind.
Is a former president prosecutable for crimes committed while he was in office? I was disappointed, like many of you, I'm sure, when we heard that Lindsey Graham, and Attorney General Barr both have retreated from including Obama in the crosshairs of their efforts to get at the truth regarding Russiagate and this flim-flam against Flynn and all that. Yeah, the prosecution of a private citizen for political reasons. Oh yeah, Flynn was a political prisoner by the Obama administration. But anyway, Gowdy, he's another one that's joined the opposition, allowing the investigation into the abuse of power in the Obama administration to include questioning Obama and Biden, and all these things are disappointing. Now, their reasons have to do with a long-standing unwritten law that we don't prosecute former presidents for their actions during their administration. And the rationale is sound. You know, once that starts, you know, the presidency is such a highly charged political office. It would never end. Every president would be harassed by lawsuits from his political opponents, and this would hamstring the office of the presidency from thenceforward. Now, there's some wisdom in that, but I'm going to blow that up, man. I'm going to blow up that false doctrine today. You can hear the ticking of the time bomb. But really, first, I want to point out that after I had the chance to actually look at what Barr said, it turns out he qualified his statement. He said he did not foresee Obama or Biden being included as targets of Durham's investigation based on the information he had currently in hand. So the door's left open, you see. This suggests that Attorney General Barr does understand what I'm going to be bringing out here in just a few moments. The information bomb that I'm going to detonate, the truth bomb that I'm going to detonate in a few minutes. So let's review some of the newest information to surface about Obama's involvement in Spygate, hashtag Obamagate. Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, send them all the support you can, by the way, reports on revelations from some correspondents indicating Obama wanted to know what was going down with the dossier and the matter of General Flynn. It appears there was pressure from top down to implicate Trump in a charge of collusion with Russia and to put out the story that Putin wanted Trump to be elected. And now we know that on January 5, 2017, only weeks before Trump began assembling his cleanup crew in preparation or orientating his cleanup crew in preparation to invade the Obama White House and begin the cleanup operation, Obama et al. Devastated that Hillary lost and no doubt panicked that Trump would discover all the corruption Obama and Hillary had hidden in the swamp. Obama, Biden, and then FBI Director Comey, CIA, then CIA Director Brennan, then National Intelligence Director Clapper, and then Attorney General Sally Yates had a meeting in which they discussed the Russian steel dossier and strategies on what to do about Flynn. Now, in my last show, I mentioned Obama's obsession with Flynn and explained where it's probably coming from. See show number 779. After the meeting, Obama asked Comey and Yates to stay behind, along with Biden. And they had a little private meeting there. Obama revealed to them that he had learned of, quote, the information about Flynn, end quote. Yates was surprised to discover Obama had detailed information about a wiretapped conversation between Flynn and the Russian ambassador. You see, they were spying on Flynn, and Obama knew about it. Now, we know that Obama instructed Comey to confront Trump with the dossier. Let's see how he reacts, was the idea of it. And the implications are clear that he also instructed Comey to go after Flynn. But now, Obama no longer controls the FBI, the CIA, and the National Intelligence Office, or the Attorney General's Office. He feels it, too. He feels this loss of control. It's like it's just spinning out of control on him. No wonder Obama complains that the Trump administration is, quote, an absolute chaotic disaster, end quote. I'm sure he feels that way. Justice has been cut loose from his corrupt control, and it's coming for him, man. Justice is no longer controlled by the Obama bots in the swamp. Ha! Indeed, it is totally out of Obama's control, and so he feels it's chaotic. Now, the question of how close did Obama and Biden come to crossing the line into criminal behavior, from bad behavior, inappropriate, into criminal behavior, that's a matter that's still open. Clearly, if in fact he ordered the dossier to be used to gain warrants to spy on Trump's campaign or on his staff, well, there you go. Or if he did instruct Comey to use his power to trip Flynn up in some flim-flam charge, well, but it's possible Obama and Biden were clever enough to trust their stooges to pick up on what needed to be done without requiring them to be so explicit as to implicate them. Whether Obama knew in advance of the unmasking of Flynn to the press, or even more disturbing, if it was done per his instructions, well, there you go. Now, that would be criminal. But all of that is yet to be determined. Any of these things would be criminal behavior. Some are advising Trump to give Obama and Biden a peremptory pardon. And the idea is cute. The idea is that this will set in the mind of the electorate the idea that Obama and Biden committed crimes and it'll just really mess up the left and just infuriate them and all this nonsense. It's absurd. Not that Obama and Biden are not criminals. In my opinion, there's no doubt about that. That's my opinion. But a president cannot pardon someone for a crime with which they've not even been charged. It's bad advice. I think Trump's advisors will shield him from something so obviously and patently political. Stay true. But to the question, the legal question, whether a former president can be charged for crimes committed during his administration, we know the president has protection from prosecution while in office. However, he still has accountability because the Congress can impeach him for high crimes and misdemeanors, and the Senate can try that impeachment and find him guilty or not guilty. And if guilty, then they can remove him from office. True, he's protected from being dragged into courts to answer for any charges about any alleged crime, and for good reason, by the way. As I pointed out, the presidency is a highly charged political office, and with people like the Democrats around these days, well, there's no question but that Trump especially would be hauled into court every other day for one or another phony charge, right? Yeah, the Democrats have no soul, man. That party is so corrupt, literally it's corrupt at the core, and that's too bad. But the point is that even in office, the president still has accountability. And law does provide for him to be charged with high crimes and misdemeanors by Congress and then tried in the Senate, with the consequence being limited to being removed from office. However, have you forgotten? We've heard this forever, that after he's removed from office, well, he's prosecutable as a private citizen for crimes. Yeah, that's always been the case. That's the law. True, you can't, and indeed no one should, allow a former president to be made to answer for his policies, for his political positions. I mean, beyond whatever political comeuppance he might get from the voters with regard to any kind of legacy he might have and history's opinion of him and all that. But no way can we prosecute a former president for any policy decisions he made. And for example, Obama sending the $1 billion to Iran. That was a policy issue. I don't have time to explain it further. But how he went about getting the money to Iran, oh, well, that might have involved some criminal behavior. It does look a little shady. His decision to run guns to the cartels in Mexico, ostensibly to track them into cartels' inner circles as a sort of sting operation, well, that was a policy decision. Bad one. But as for whether there were statutes violated in that operation, well, that's the point. There is a distinction to be made between bad policy and criminal behavior in the implementation of those policies. The Benghazi travesty is likewise a matter of wicked policy for which Obama and Hillary should be held accountable politically, socially, and most certainly will be held accountable before the Supreme Judge of the Earth. But only if criminal charges may be brought out regarding that should there be any move in prosecuting them on that issue. But when it comes to obstructing justice, as Hillary did with her emails and stuff like that, you understand? When it comes to criminal behavior, no office or office holder can hide from that under the cover of their office. There's no cover from justice against criminal behavior for anyone, because just like the libs like to remind us, even though they do so hypocritically, no one is above the law. Not even progressive politicians. Not even Obama or Hillary or Comey or Brennan or Clapper or Biden or... And the progressives believe this too. Notice how hot they are right now. That Trump allegedly violated Michigan law and refused to wear a mask in front of media. These people, I'm telling you, a bunch of clowns. Did you know that? Did you know it's a law in Michigan that you have to wear a mask in front of media? Not. I care too much for health and welfare of my fellow Americans to encourage them to go around wearing these masks. It's unhealthy. Yeah, I mean, that's what some doctors tell us, and then these doctors tell us that, and the other doctors, Fauci once told us, oh, that mask doesn't do anything. Next thing you know, oh, you got to wear a mask. I mean, a bunch of liars, and you people are just controlled like a bunch of puppets, you know. They pull a string, and you go dancing about and sticking on your mask and everything. And what's with you guys driving around town wearing a mask? I see this all the time. You're in your car, you're alone, your windows are rolled up, and you're wearing a mask? Really? Folks, I believe Obama is afraid for more than his legacy. I think he knows that he has crossed the line, that he has committed malfeasance, that criminal charges might be brought against him, and the process of answering those charges will likely uncover a whole lot more than his handlers want revealed. And he might face the Epstein remedy. Ooh. Well, I wouldn't hope for that for anyone, but I'm just saying. My friends, I gotta take a short break. Hold on, I'll be right back.
The spirit of Antichrist is rising. But remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord raises a banner against him. The Spirit of Jesus Christ in us is greater than the spirit of Antichrist in the world. But believers don't understand the ways of the kingdom of God. Jerry's new book teaches you how to wrestle against the principalities and powers that have risen against Christ in America today. Get God's War, Why Christians Should Rule the World. Go to godswar2020.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Scheid Bach, pastor at Lighthouse Baptist Church, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Update on COVID California. Barr's office sent a warning letter to California. It was from the Office of the Attorney General, the Civil Rights Division, dated May 19, 2020, and it was addressed directly to, quote, Dear Governor Newsom, end quote. The opening sentence is, quote, We are writing to you to raise several civil rights concerns with the treatment of places of worship in executive orders N3320 and N6020 and documents relating to the California reopening plan, end quote. The letter reminds the governor that, quote, Even in times of emergency, when reasonable and temporary restrictions are placed on rights, the First Amendment and federal statutory law prohibit discrimination against religious institutions and religious believers, end quote. Or in other words, an emergency does not cancel the Constitution, only partly and only temporarily, and when these cancellations of our liberties are necessary, they must be implemented even-handedly. So, yeah. Now, I'm not in agreement with that idea anymore. I used to accept that. But thanks to Governors Newsom, Whitmer, Northam, and Pritzker, no way! I don't trust godless people with that kind of power. I don't believe them when they say they're protecting our public health. I think they're a bunch of liars. I think they're trying to put the infrastructure in place for a police state, for a totalitarian regime to take over in November, they hope, and exact their ungodly vengeance on people of faith for interfering with their globalist agenda, their agenda to subjugate Americans to the tyrannical control of Xi Jinping, to turn us into China, for heaven's sake, so they can do in Madison Square Gardens what they've done in Tiananmen Square. That's what I think's going on. Now, I'm using some hyperbole here, but listen, I'm making a point. They are working to steal the November election, and they've got a plan in place when they do to lay it on us, man. They'll show us who's boss around here. They'll put a dupe like Biden in there who will allow his puppet masses to trigger another emergency that they will use to usurp the sword of divine justice and turn it against the ordaining authority and in the advancement of the agenda, the powers of darkness, and attack people of faith. That's the Antichrist spirit. It's what it always wants to do. Read your Bible, man. In the spirit of the Harvard professor who recently said, quote, Belief in an afterlife is a malignant delusion since it devalues actual lives and discourages action that would make them, and I imagine he meant live, longer, safer, and happier. End quote. He offers as Exhibit A what's really behind Republicans wanting a swift reopening, evangelicals. And a guy who received one of my boosted posts and wrote that I'm wasting my time to send him these things because he's 100% atheist, and then he jabbed, get a life. Oh my goodness. That's one of the milder things I get sometimes. And of course, this jerk gets all sorts of stuff that he ignores and casts aside and never says anything about it. But it was important for him to take this shot at me, you know, although I've never met him. So I wrote back to him, thank you. And I informed him I'm doing all that I can to gather up my pearls. But really, and that I considered him rude and had no desire to have any interaction with him at all. So he wrote back and said, good, so you get my point. And I said, yeah, you're rude. You see, anyway, I can't go into it right now, but Christians, come on. You got to say something to these rude people. And this joker at Harvard, he needs to have someone that will point out what an arrogant twit he is to assume, first, that he actually understands people of faith. He has no clue. And second, that he is displaying his own woeful ignorance of the Christian faith if he thinks it devalues actual lives. How about Exhibit A? We're not for murdering little helpless babies in the wombs of their mothers, or for advocating for their murder up to and even after birth, or for euthanasia and all this junk. Third, if he thinks censorship of science is bad, but censorship of religious belief is okay, he's probably a faithful servant to politically correct science and would not dare cross the science Nazis. In fact, he might even be one. I don't know, but perhaps. I believe that when Pritzker says churches probably cannot expect to be given his permission to resume in-person services for, oh, maybe a year or so, that he is a corrupt, power-hungry madman whose antichrist bias and obtuseness toward religious people is inexplicable, except it be understood in the context of Paul's revelation about Satan being the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, and his revelation that Satan takes them captive at his will. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. I didn't even give you a Bible thump alert. How you doing? Because no one hates the church quite like Satan does, and this Yahoo has no personal reason that I know about to hate churches like he obviously does. So where is this coming from these people? Pritzker says he will not give his permission for churches to resume their services until that state has fully implemented its citizen surveillance infrastructure. Yeah. He wants to finish implementing his plan to spy on all Illinoisans. Yeah, this guy who can't even get Chicago under control is going to set up spying systems all through the state to watch his citizens in his state. So when he can see where you are and how many people you're hanging around, how close you are standing to each other, well, then he'll remove his stay at home. Or basically, it's really a stay from church order. And Apple working on an application that will allow government to spy on you and tell how close you are to each other and all that kind of. Give me a break. I believe they are corrupted by power. I think anyone who believes you can have liquor stores and marijuana dispensaries open, and yet you've got to close down every other mom and pop shop in the state, that individual is a corrupt liar. Because it's impossible to believe they could be that stupid. Anyone who tells a heart patient, you can't see your doctor because we have to make sure we've got room for COVID-19 patients when hospitals are virtually empty in most places in the state and really through the country, and they're laying off nurses and even doctors, is either a corrupt, lying, power-crazed maniac, or they're just dumb as a post. Anyone who says we will reopen schools for in-person classes, workers supporting the entertainment industries and studios are cleared for in-person work environment, and workers supporting e-commerce, well, they're allowed to gather for in-person work environments because we can trust them, you know, to apply social distancing rules and so on. But churches, no, you can't open a church now for in-person worship, regardless of whether they practice social distancing. Such a person is either a stinking devil or a blithering dolt. Anyone who says your elective surgery is non-essential, but electing to murder a baby in the womb, well, now that's essential, is simply perverse in the core of their soul. It's obvious what spirit this is coming from. And thank God we have an attorney general who still believes in religious liberty. And thank God for our president who believes churches are essential. He has sent a few subtle messages to this effect along the way, but has come out now and boldly just proclaimed it. Before he could go public with this sentiment on this matter, some reporter shot a question at him asking whether Trump planned to prioritize reopening churches over other establishments. Yeah, give me a break. The reverse is what's going on, friend. And President Trump said no, but that he feels churches are essential and that we could expect a statement on that matter soon. And he said maybe today or tomorrow. Well, again, true to his word, there's a man who keeps his promises. The word came down today. Churches are essential. CNBC reports, Trump slams governors, demands they open houses of worship right now. Watch how the devils will howl. And all you Christianettes who thought it did not matter that the house of God was closed by order of the usurpers of the divinely ordained powers, look how they resist giving you permission to assemble. Why? What are they afraid of? Happily, a quorum to execute business as a church, you know, using the keys of the kingdom to bind and loose, only requires two or three. But assembled they must be. Matthew 18. Special things happen in the assembly of believers. The secrets of hearts are manifested. And God is manifested. 1 Corinthians 14. Anyway, take heart, my dear fellow believers. One evidence we have that God is not done with America yet is that God has turned the heart of our president to say, church is essential. They tell us 1.58 million cases of COVID and, quote, at least 95,052 deaths, end quote, from COVID. Liars. These people are lying. I have no idea what the count is. It's been so messed up by these liars. Kentucky recently admitted to fudging the numbers by as much as 60%. 60%! Burke said she can't believe anything coming from CDC anymore, said the numbers are inflated by 25%. You heard me when I reported that earlier say, yeah, well, it's probably more than that. And now Kentucky comes out and admits the numbers reported there are inflated by, actually, they said over 60%. So President Trump comes out and, well, I decided to get another article because CNBC can't really be trusted. You know what I mean? Here's something from The Hill, usually reliable. And the headliner says, quote, Trump demands governors allow churches to open, end quote. In the body of the article, I read, quote, President Trump on Friday ordered governors to allow houses of worship to open immediately, declaring them essential to American life during COVID-19, end quote. And they quoted Trump as saying the governors need to do the right thing and allow these very important, essential places of faith to open right now, this weekend, quote, end quote. He went on to say, quote, if they don't do it, I will override the governors. America, we need more prayer, not less, end quote. Now, we all understand that Trump is not a politician, and political speech, well, it's not his forte. And I'm glad, it's refreshing. I don't think Trump thinks he has the power to simply decree churches open, despite the blue state oppressive governor's edicts to the contrary. I do think he knows the Constitution, and I do believe he means he will do as he has now done, and will say to all the people of faith, you've got a friend in me. We will support you. The office of the president is going to stand behind your right to exercise your fundamental and inalienable rights. And his attorney general has actually already led the charge or opened up the first salvo on this. All wicked, oppressing governors are hereby set on notice. We the people have a right to assemble and worship God according to the dictates of our conscience. San Luis Obispo County has responded to the Attorney General's letter to the governor with a statement that they have no intention of prosecuting alleged violations of the governor's order. Good for them. Our Assemblyman Cunningham joined with some others to petition Santa Barbara County Health Department not to include COVID cases and deaths from the Lompoc prison in the numbers used to decide whether or not we're in stage 2, 3, or whatever they're doing there. And that's good. But I was dismayed that Cunningham's name was not included with Gallagher, Patterson, and some others on the concurrent resolution declaring the governor's emergency declaration void. I have not had time to contact his office to ascertain where he stands on that matter, so I'm just expressing concern he was not among the sponsors of that resolution. I understand 3,000 churches in California are planning to reopen May 31st in defiance of the governor's unconstitutional stay-from-church order. Newsom does not get to tell us when we can assemble for worship. Now, I've come to the end of my time today, and there's something I've got to get to. 8 California pastors have covenanted together in June to fast and pray for California to be delivered from the power of unreasonable and wicked men and women. Pastor Max Graves at Liberty Baptist in Norwalk, Pastor Larry Cox, First Baptist in Trona, Pastor Jerry Cook of Freedom's Way Baptist in Sloan Canyon, Solid Rock Baptist in Los Angeles with Pastor A.J. Harold, Faith Baptist in Wheatland with Pastor Campbell, Calvary Baptist in American Canyon with Pastor Marshall Stevens, and Pastor Tim Johnson at Bible Baptist Church in Willits. And then, of course, moi and Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Santa Maria. Friend, Satan does not get to have California. We must resist now, and it must begin in spiritual warfare, and it must be aggressive. Please hear me. If we do not rise up and resist this massive power grab to establish tyranny in our land, if we don't do it now, when the cost of resistance is still relatively low. Do it now, before the cost will be blood in the streets of our cities. Do it now. We must stop the rise of the Antichrist spirit now, before it's too late to retrieve our liberties politically and civilly. Don't let these violent people push us into violent revolution, because that's what Satan wants. Don't let it happen. Join us now in prayer and fasting and civil protest, making our grievance known forcefully, but civilly. I've lit the lamps of the church belfry arch. Now you let me know you see they're on. Call 1-805-314-2114. That's 1-805-314-2114. And or go to godswar2020.com. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Go to godswar2020.com.